Thank you so much for having me. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here. Amber, I want to honour you for what you've done with this. We started this conversation nearly a year ago that Amber was already, you know, carrying what the Lord wanted to do today right within her spirit nearly a year ago, and you've stewarded this and prayed and prepared, and your team are doing a fantastic job, and just honour you. Can we just show appreciation to Amber? Honestly, this is amazing. What you're doing is amazing. And how you shared your story, that is great. You've always been somebody who has inspired me, slightly scared me. But I'm just being honest, just being honest. But you said something at the very beginning of today that really resonated in my spirit. I'm travelling here with Jenny. Jenny's my friend from Watford. I'm making her speak for a little bit as well today, so she's going to be bringing a bit of a testimony in this morning. And Jenny, we journey a little bit in life together. We share some stuff together, and I'm actually going to be speaking at her wedding next spring. I'm really excited about this, because one of the things we do, me and my husband do this when we do weddings, is we give the first gift. Because when you're actually there, like, of course you're going to be first, you're standing right there. So we get to do this in church, and we give the first gift, and it's normally our sermon illustration. And Jenny is causing me so much struggle, because if it was just Jenny, the present is easy, and I would just get her a little pig. Her world would be a happy place. She has this thing for pigs. I don't know, someone has to. But she has this thing for pigs. But the problem is I love her fiancé too, and it could be a very short wedding if I produce the ultimate gift. But anyway, you'll hear from Jenny later on. But we're here because Amber's invited us, and we're just thrilled to be here. Just a couple of invitations I want to bring before I start. One is, some of you from here came down to Flourish in June this year. Give a little hands up wave if you came to Flourish. Would you be willing to come again?
Yeah.
Some of the hands were like, oh, am I buying a ticket? Is this? I don't know how to respond. I don't know you that well. You're quite safe. At the back, on the little table at the back, there are some little flyers about Flourish that's happening next year. We're extending it to be a Friday night and a Saturday. I want to invite you on a pilgrimage to come down. We've got some luxury hotels, we've got some budget hotels. You can take your pick. I've got a sofa if you really want it. You know, but I want to invite you to come, because God's given us this vision based on John 4, that when he met with the Samaritan woman at the well, when he had this encounter with her, she had this encounter with Jesus, and she knew that she was loved, she knew that she was accepted, but she knew that she was loved so much she would never be the same again. And because of this encounter with Jesus, you know the story, John 4, she went running to her village, and she brought her village to meet Jesus. And it says, if you read it in John 4, and many were saved. And I am completely impressed upon in my spirit, which is why as soon as Amber said, would you come, it's like, of course I will. Silly question. What took you so long? Was that actually, if we can be part of these encounters for women to meet with Jesus, when we go from these encounters, we will go back to our world, our village, our town, our city, our world, and we're going to tell every man, woman, and child. Because you see, when we encounter Jesus, we have to share that with others. And the whole aspect, the reason I love Ladies' Day is because we're at the well with Jesus. We're going to go back to our worlds, and they're going to be changed. And we're going to therefore influence every man, woman, and child as a result for Jesus, and many will be saved. From today, many will be saved. From Flourish, many will be saved. So I just want to invite you all down to Watford. It's only an hour and a half. You Grimsby girls, gosh, you're just hardcore. But you know, it's just an hour and a half between here and Watford. So come down, stay. There's flyers. It's June of next year. I'm living in this moment so much. I keep calling it this year, and this year's was last year's, but it's not. It really is next year I'm talking about. I do have some books here for you. And Amber said I could plug it. I will plug it, but I kind of believe, and I don't say this arrogantly in any way, I think the book will plug itself. It's a devotional. It's 40 days with Jesus. So it isn't just for girls, so boys in the kitchen, just saying. So it is a 40-day journey with Jesus through the wilderness. You know, he had this incredible encounter with his father when he was baptized. He heard the audible voice of the father affirming him. And then he was led by the Spirit. Into the wilderness where the enemy tested him. And the enemy came along with this whole tightrope thing of doubt. Did God say, you are the Son of God? Well, of course he flipping just said it. I heard it audibly. He didn't respond like that. He responded with scripture. He responded with the word of God. And so this is a journey that goes through the wilderness, bringing scripture to some of the temptations we face, some of the doubts, some of the battles. And what it says on the cover, people are saying it is doing. It is enabling people to get into a healthy habit in the Word of God. It's a bit like a defibrillator that gets a healthy rhythm started. This will point you to the Bible, and you'll fall in love with the Word again. Because as I've been doing this, I've fallen in love with the Word. I'm still reading it. I know that sounds a bit weird, but it keeps pointing me to Jesus. So as long as it's working, I'm still reading it. So this is, does anyone want this copy? Come on, your hand was very quick. She was just scratching her ear, really. No, thank you, blessed. She was scratching. It's like, oh, you've now got a book. Very good. Well, look, I want to give you that and be blessed. And they're at the back. Oh, I should tell you, so if you get them on Amazon, they're £8.99. But if you get them from me, they're £8. I don't like to deal with one piece. It's just, you know, I can't give you one piece change. So it's £8, and we have lots here today, so you can enjoy that. But be blessed. But I want to talk to you in these few minutes about what it is to live a life that is way beyond ourselves. What is it to journey with Jesus in such a way that we're always way beyond ourselves? Is that a scary place? Does that make you feel, as the title is, like, oh my gosh, out of my league, out of my depth, I can't go there? Or is it something that you say, oh, I really want to go there? It's like an adventure in another country where you've not been and you can't wait to travel there. Some of us are somewhere in between with two of them, but I want to talk to you about one woman's journey and her quest to live way beyond, and where it went really well and where it nearly didn't go so well. The lady's name is Mary. We know the story of Mary and her sister Martha. If you read in the Gospels, in Luke's Gospel, we first can hear the story about them. And we often love to use this story. You know, we'll then go into, we're human beings, not human doings. And we'll talk about Mary and Martha and how Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, whereas Martha was running around cooking the meal. Now, there was nothing wrong with cooking the meal. And if you love cooking, go for it. There's nothing wrong with cooking the meal. She was practicing hospitality. She was welcoming in her guests. But Mary had already discovered what it was to live in a way beyond life, because she was living way beyond expectations when she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Martha was fussing around, but her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Martha complained. This is what the Lord said: my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken away from her. And the reason why she was already living this way beyond life was because she was doing something that women didn't do in those days. She was sitting at the feet of a rabbi. He was a teacher. She was sitting at his feet, which is the position of a disciple. It is a position of someone who's saying, I'm here to learn, and I'm here to learn from you, and you are the rabbi, you are my teacher, and I will sit here. Now, that was a common position for men, and men would want to be chosen by a rabbi to be a disciple. They would want to follow the rabbis. That was a good thing for them to do if they were of that faith, but it was not something that women were allowed to do. And here in this moment, she went beyond her expectations. She went beyond the expectations of her culture. She went beyond the expectations of her family. Because in this moment, Jesus was saying, this will not be taken away. And I want to encourage you right at the get-go that some of you need to consider what it is to go beyond the expectations of your culture, of your family, of your experience so far, and sit in a position at Jesus' feet and say, teach me, show me. We can pick up the story of Mary at a later stage in John's Gospel. And in this part of Martha and Mary's story, it's all going tragically wrong. You see, they had a brother. You know, the brother's name was Lazarus. And do you remember the story, ladies, when Lazarus got sick and they gave word through disciples and carrier pigeons and shouting loudly, and they probably text, really, but, you know. They sent word for Jesus, and they said, our brother is really sick. And, of course, they were friends with Jesus. So they knew to automatically call for Jesus. He was the one who they'd seen do miracles. He was the one that they'd heard his wisdom. And he was the one who really genuinely loved them, stayed in their house, visited with them, ate with them. So, of course, they would go to Jesus, send word, but Jesus didn't come. Jesus didn't come. Jesus was way beyond where they were. He didn't come. How many times have you ever prayed and you thought, Jesus, why are you not coming? I don't understand. But but I don't feel that you're coming. Well, he didn't come. And he didn't come, and he didn't come. And Lazarus went from bad to worse, and then he died. And Martha and Mary were racked with grief, utterly broken. And then we get this phenomenal little bit of the story that we've read zillions of times. But I'm going to suggest there's at least one verse that you might never have noticed before. If we pick up the story in John's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm just going to jump around a bit. So at the beginning of chapter 11, it says this: a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Martha and Mary. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Now, this isn't the same story as the prostitute who did that, because there's two times when women poured out in this way. But one thing I just want you to hold in your mind, okay? This is where Mary is right now, but this is the Mary who later on will be pouring out expensive perfume and worshiping Jesus. Right now, she's in this place. Before, she was at his feet. Now, she is here. Later on, she will be back at his feet. But right now, she's in this place. Jesus came. The people are talking to Jesus. And he said, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He probably didn't put that tone or hang on here, but I just feel that it adds something, you know. Lazarus is dead. Come on now, wake up. He said, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. We'll jump down a little bit. Thomas is there. They get to Bethany. The people are mourning. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. It's what people did. It's what people still do. You gather to console. When Martha, the busy cooking one, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Listen, the disciple. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha, the one who had been busy with all of the trivial stuff, just feeding the stomachs, was the one who immediately left the house of mourning and went to meet and greet Jesus on his return. But Mary, the one who had been at his feet, the one who had been the disciple, right now stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Even now, Martha's faith is rising within her. The stuff she just picked up while she'd been cooking. The stuff that had sown seeds of faith into her. She's going, come on, Jesus. Even now, you can do something. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises on that last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe me, Martha? She goes on, yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And so the conversation goes on. Mary is still at home. So then in verse 20, can't read that little number, 29, she says, then she returned to Mary. So Martha goes back to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So immediately Mary went to him. We're going to pause the story there because there is something in A Way Beyond Living that we can grasp from this moment. Mary was gripped in her grief, in her disappointment, in her frustration. She was mourning, and there's nothing wrong with mourning when you've lost. It is completely appropriate. It is completely the right thing to do. But because she was so in her grief and unable to leave her house, she didn't go to Jesus. Now, if Martha and Mary were both grieving together and they were both in that place of mourning and they were both in that house together and Jesus is coming on the horizon and Martha heard that Jesus was coming on the horizon and she was able to leave the house, she was able to run and meet him, surely Mary really knew that he was on his way. But yet she didn't go until that moment when she realized He's asking for you. He's calling you. He's inviting you. He wants you out of this hole of despair. He wants you out of this grief. He doesn't want you contained and locked up and brokenhearted. He's calling you out. And immediately she left. Immediately she got up and she left. And this is where it gets fascinating. This is where the economy of Jesus is just something amazing. So Jesus wants a very personal intimacy. Jesus wants to know that when he calls, you'll come. Jesus sees you in your grief. Jesus sees you in your disappointment. Jesus sees you in your frustration. But everything that he wants for you, he wants to kind of generously give through you to others. Because watch where the story goes with Mary. It's simply fascinating, in my mind anyway. Okay, so Jesus calls Mary out and Mary goes. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, what did she do? She fell at his feet. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. So Jesus went and resurrected Lazarus, just lifted him out of the grave, took everything that had bound him up, and brought him back to life. And we're just going to jump down to the story. He comes back to life, yay! Probably a bit smelly, but yay, that's okay. And then we get to verse 45. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. So just track this story a little bit. See what it's saying to you. Because here we have Mary gripped in her grief, gripped in her disappointment. She had one time been at the feet of Jesus, but now she just couldn't leave the house until she heard him call. She heard him call, and so she responded. She went to see Jesus. As soon as she saw Jesus, what did she do? Slap him in the face for being late? No, she fell at his feet. This is a position of worship. This is a position of submission. This is a position of saying, okay, I don't like what has happened, but it's happened and you're here and you're still who you are, even though this is what it is. You are still who you are and I will bow at your feet. And because of her, many saw Jesus. Because of how she had left the place of mourning and disappointment and frustration and said, bigger than my grief, bigger than my troubles is Jesus. Because she fell at his feet, many people then had the opportunity to say, oh, and look what he's just done. This is her, and there's her brother. And many were saved. There's a story of John the Baptist. Everyone know of John the Baptist? He was the signpost to Jesus. That was his purpose in life, the signpost to Jesus. What a job. He had this job right from when he was within the womb. He was jumping up and down when Jesus was near. It's like, you know, I'm a signpost to Jesus. There he was, happy baby. And he went, his ministry was going, until Jesus came along. And as soon as Jesus' public ministry came into place, very soon after that baptism where there was an encounter for Jesus and his father, John was taken off to jail. He never actually came out again. When he was in jail, he sent word via his disciples to Jesus. Now, I don't think he was really complaining necessarily about the prison that he was in, but he was definitely not sure that who he had expected to see was actually in Jesus. So he sent word. Do you remember? You can read this in Matthew's Gospel. He said, are you the one who we've been waiting for, or should we look for someone else? And all of the disciples of Jesus sent message back via Jesus, because Jesus said, tell him what you see. Just say what you see. Everything. Eyes are opened. The deaf hear. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And then Jesus says this amazing phrase in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are they who don't give up on God because of me. Some version says, God blesses those who don't give up because of me. And this is one of those moments that Mary was having. When Jesus hadn't come and Jesus hadn't answered the prayers in the way that she had wanted. And her brother had got sick and disappeared from them. And she was locked in grief. Yet she didn't give up on recognizing he is the Son of God And our Father in heaven is the King of all kings. I want to invite Jenny up. Jenny's going to share a story of hers that I believe is so relevant to this that you are going to be richly blessed. And then I'll bring this back in to wrap it up.
Thank you. Forgive me, this is the first time I've shared this testimony, so I'm trusting in God that this is what you need to hear today. But I just want to tell you a story about my life over the past year. At the beginning of this year, one of my best friends, her name is India, she is 22, she got diagnosed with cancer in the bowel, ovaries and stomach lining. And so she, as like the rest of our friends, we prayed for miracles. We were praying daily and we were praying with her as she was in hospital and struggling. And unfortunately, on February 27th, she passed away. And it was a really sad time, and it was horrific, and it was just heartbreaking, as you can imagine. India was someone that was a true worshipper. We used to worship on the same worship team at church together. She loved God with all her heart, and right up until the day she died, she was singing worship, and her last breath was of worship, and she was just praising God. And that just, for us girls, there's a group of six of us back home that are, you know, very close, and we were struggling with this because she was so holy, she was so in love with God, and we prayed for miracles every day, and she just wasn't healed in the way we expected. And, you know, that's just the way this is, and that's just the way it happened. But thankfully, she is now rejoicing in heaven with God, and I praise God that is the case. And so I guess the story of grief, as it kind of came to pass when she died, as you can imagine, I know that people say there are these five sets of emotions and feelings that you go through. I feel like us friends, we all went through every single one of these emotions at random orders and at different times. And I guess with that journey of grief, it was just a case of, when I was on the worship team at our church now, I was struggling to worship. I was struggling to see God in all of this. And all I could do, all I could bring myself to do when I was worshiping was to just cry out and just say, God, I don't know, I don't understand. I'm just crying out to you because I need something. I need someone. I need anything. And actually, the more I did that, the more I clung to God, the more I looked above and I just was crying out to him, the more that worship began to change. It began to turn into praise. Because grief, it is so odd and it's so difficult. At my age, India was 22 when she passed away. And it is a really difficult thing to kind of understand and get your head around. And God just opened my eyes and said, look, I'm still good. I still love you. I still love India. I still love all of your friends and family. And I am good. And I just kind of, that change in worship was amazing to see and to feel an experience of, instead of crying out and thinking, God, please save the situation, like, I can't understand it, it was, God, I praise you because you're good and you've saved me and you're here and I thank you for that. So I guess in that testimony, I just want to encourage you as well, if anyone has experienced grief or if it's just, you know, getting up each day is a struggle. For me, I think about India and I pray about her every day, and it's still very raw. But instead of going down that spiral, which has happened at times, of thinking, why am I here? What is this? Why am I going to work? What's the point? It could all end tomorrow. Instead, I choose Jesus. I have to actively make that choice to be living for him, to be worshipping him, to be praising him and thanking him for just being a good God, for being someone that I can hold on to. So I guess that kind of ties into what we were saying and what this whole day is about, is looking beyond yourself, looking beyond your feelings, the sorrow, the grief, just anything that is holding you down and that weight, and looking beyond yourself and looking out and thinking, okay, there's more to this. There's God. He's going to lead me. I'm going to follow him. And so I just want to share with you, actually, Helen doesn't know that I've done this, but another little plug, I promise. But it's from her devotional, and I've actually just finished it today. I've done the 40 days. And it was really, yeah, God just pointed me to this. And in here, she's written a section and put in 1 Peter 4. And it just says this. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. So I think that's just really significant, and I would just take that as you carry on throughout the day, that God is there to bring you out of those situations.
Thank you, Jenny, for being willing to share that. Really appreciate that. The prophet Isaiah wrote, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so often, to live this life of being way beyond, we have to come to that place in whatever our circumstances are to say, it is actually all about Jesus. When Mary fell at Jesus' feet, she wasn't immediately saying, heal him now, bring him back from the dead. She was coming to a place of worship again. She was coming to a place of submission again. And she was coming to a place where she was willing to live beyond. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 84 says this. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessing. Living a life of being beyond enables that which would be restrictive, that which would be depressing, that which would be an end that we can't get through because we're not big enough, it enables that to become a place of refreshing, because in that place we can find our strength in Jesus. In that place we can come to a greater intimacy than we might otherwise come, and we can be carried through, nurtured through, protected in. There is something profound when we're willing to go beyond our circumstances to the feet of Jesus. And in that place is refreshing encouragement and nurture. And the reason why is because of who we follow. We follow someone who has gone beyond. There's from Hebrews, I love the fact that you read from Hebrews earlier. And you're a great model of being mindset on pilgrimage. But okay, Hebrews has just moved from my Bible. It's not your New Testament, thank you for that. It's not there anymore. Does that ever happen to you, or is it just me? It just moves. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. In other words, because of what awaited him, he went beyond himself. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from simple people. Then you won't become weary and give up. And down the end of 12, verse 12, it says this. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. I'm very sorry. I need to flip this.
Is that
going to
say that?
So here we have this truth. Jesus went beyond himself because of what was beyond him. Beyond him was the seat at the right hand of the Father. Beyond him was your salvation. Beyond him was you at home, having set your pilgrimage on Jerusalem, in other words, on heaven, that we are citizens of heaven, just negotiating our way through this thing called the earth that is in all this galaxy of super, super things. And we are set on pilgrimage. We are not at home yet. We are on our way to home. Our minds are set on pilgrimage. And if you read in Revelation, it's described what this home is, where Jesus is in relationship with us and we are home with him in heaven forever. But right now, he pushed through in order that we right now can push through and we can go beyond our circumstances. Ladies, there is nothing that you are going through that Jesus cannot be your strength in. There is nothing that you are going through that he cannot bring refreshing to you in it, where you are and what you're going through. He longs for you to be beyond yourself, where you can be fully in him, where he will strengthen you, where he will grace you, where he will equip you, where you won't give up on the Father because Jesus hasn't yet answered things in the way that you would like him to do. It has been one of those honors, partly walking with and partly watching Jenny journey in her loss, because she has never once given up on the Father because the prayers weren't answered like she wanted to do. It's been a privilege journeying with a bit and watching and seeing the stories unfold of the pilgrimage to Lakenheath and seeing how the Father uniquely answered prayers almost before they were asked, or just bringing the right phrases in, or bringing the right revelation or the right pathway. In your families, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your workplaces, the Lord wants to go beyond with you, to take you where his strength is your strength, to take you to a place where there is refreshing even in the barrenness and even in the brokenness, in the good times as well as the less than good. And in those places, Jesus wants to reveal himself in new ways. Will you allow him to be the one who leads you? Will you allow him to call you out of what would want to contain you, out of that desire to hibernate, to hide away, to not put your head above the parapet, but to allow him to come into your circumstances by calling you out of yours and to fall at his feet? If Mary was restricted by cultural expectations, she would never have grown as a disciple. And there are some people here who need to break off from cultural expectations. There are some people here who need to break off from some stereotypes and just press on and run the race that is marked out before you. Mary went beyond and fixed her love and her eyes on Jesus, and she determined to position herself as a pilgrim. She would not stay contained. She would move out. And our story of living beyond really becomes the reality when we're willing to come out of ourselves and step into what the Lord has for us because of who he is to us. Now, we're going to come into a little bit of a close, but before we do, I just want to bring a couple of words to a couple of people specifically. And I was going to do this at the beginning, and then I forgot. But I just want to bring it, because otherwise I'll get told off, and, you know, by the Lord, you know, not by the people. And I'm really sorry, the first one's for boy. Well, I'm not sorry at all. Where's our keyboardist? Is he in the room? Where, Matt, this is for you. Is your wife, are you married? Who's your wife? You're his wife. Okay, so this is the word I really believe the Lord wants to encourage you with, Joe. And then there is one for you that links in. So I'm really glad I didn't try and guess who his wife was. Because it'd just be wrong, wouldn't it? Just wrong to go there. Oh, I've had a word for you. Are you his wife? No. So the picture I had, there were two pictures and they morphed a little bit. So the first one, you were in a room where there were other people in the room. It was kind of like there was business going on. It was a kind of a working sort of context. And the doors were locked. And God was saying that he wants to give you keys that will open the door and unlock the situation that everybody inside is a bit baffled about. So nobody had the solution for what was needed, and you were going to be given the keys by the Lord, and you were going to unlock the doors, and everybody who was in this dilemma, in this situation, was going to be able to really straightforwardly move out of it. And everyone was going to know it was a God thing that you were given the keys. I don't know if that makes sense. But then there's part two of the keys thing. And that was about, because you were great in leading worship. I assume you do that more than, that wasn't your first time, right? Because you picked a real, you know. But there was about a key change. I don't actually know if we did a key change in there. But it was about a key change, that the Lord wants to bring a key change. Not because you pitched the wrong key, by the way. Because us girls could sing with what he was singing. That was, you picked great keys. But it was this sense of that God wanted to bring a key change whereby you were going to up everybody so that it was going to go. Now, forgive me, my musician days are long gone, but you know when you also sort of from kind of a minor to a major, and it was going from a bit of a sort of a clashy, sad, melancholy into a, yay, we're praised. And it's this key change up that is going to reset the temperature, or the tempo, the rhythm, the sound for people, and that you were going to create a new sound for people. And it's a bit like, I don't know if you've been listening or if you just switched off to the whole of the day so far because you're a boy and, you know, it's for the girls. But this whole thing about... But that Mary, just be Mary for a minute, many people were impacted. Just go with it. Honestly, we have to pretend to be boys and relate to boys so often. Just embrace the Mary. That many people were saved because of what they saw. And I think you're going to be put in a position where there's going to be some salvation because of just the way you unlock stuff and up tempos or up sound it. There's up key. Does that make sense? So that's really good. And the thing that came, that I didn't know who your wife was, but there was the sense of you need to walk side by side with your wife. Now, I don't, maybe you do, I don't know. But sometimes we need to adjust our pace in marriage in order to be side by side. And what the Lord wants to build on you both as a couple will be more significant and have greater impact the more side by side you can be. That isn't to say you can't do your own thing and, you know, God do things independently. You are allowed to breathe. Only. But it's just... I'm just kidding. It's nearly lunch. You'll be fine. But just this side-by-side thing. You see, when we're side-by-side, husbands and wives, and I could actually, in fairness, like anyone who's got the privilege of a husband or a wife, if you're a wife, I'm not getting that radical. The side-by-sideness, the more side-by-side we are, the more we can build, and I really felt that for your wife. And then, oh, it moved. It wasn't there before. What's your name? Cheryl. So I believe the Lord wants to call you out from the back to further forward. I don't just mean in terms of a singing, but maybe I do. I mean, I don't mean that you were standing in the wrong place and you've got to stand here or anything like that. But there's a sense of the Lord has put a lot in you. You've walked a lot with him. He loves your heart. He trusts you. And I think he wants to increase your influence. Now, that's a dodgy word because we all suddenly think, oh, power, followership on Twitter. And I don't mean that. It's a kingdom influence. So it's like Mary, that people just saw what she was doing. And because they saw what she was doing, Jesus was seen. Because they saw Mary, they ended up seeing Jesus. Same as the woman at the well. When they saw her, they saw enough change in her that they saw Jesus. And I think what God wants to increase in you is your confidence to know that, you know, when people look at you, they see Jesus. They see your heart for him. They see your sweet spirit. They see your sensitivity. But there is a kind of a warrior in you. There's a strength in you, a bit of a warrior princess in you, that don't hide it. Allow the battle to put you into places where you will know the Lord's victory because he's with you and in you. And the influence will increase for him, for him, for him. It's always for him. Does that make sense to you? Very good. Okay. Well, I'm going to finish there because you're getting hungry and I will get told off. But I want to encourage you because I know that Amber has lots of things prepared in the afternoon. But I want to encourage you at this stage in the day to eat your fill at lunchtime. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Treat yourself. Do whatever. You know, that's fine. Although, if you're having curry, seriously, breathe sensitively. Eat your polos afterwards, because curry houses were mentioned that you could go for curry for lunch. Who knew? But I just want to encourage you to save some space in your spirit for this afternoon. to come back after lunch full, maybe in your bellies, but really hungry in your spirit. Because right the way through to the end, in all the variety of the afternoon, I know that the Lord has some different things for each of you in lots of different ways. And I just want to encourage you, because when you come back, it's often the sleepy zone, isn't it? It's like, you know, I can have a nap now. Do whatever you need to do to not need a nap then, because God has some amazing things for every single person as the afternoon progresses. So God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, give it up. Wow. Wow. And I just, Helen, I mean, they may talk to you later on, but those words were spot on for all three people. I could tell. Yeah. Oh, wow. What a great morning we've had. Amen. Yeah, are you hungry for food, but hungry for more? Yeah, absolutely. Great. So we are going to move into lunch. Before we do that, let me just tell you, it is pretty much on plan. This is surprising to me. Okay, so if everyone could come back, wherever you go to, you can go down into the village and explore. If you find any other varieties of food, I know there's Caribbean, I know there's Indian, the co-op, fish and chip shop, kebab and sandwich bar. Honestly, this is like the world in one little street. Let me know, because I obviously haven't found it yet. But feel free to bring your food back. We can chill out in here. That's not a problem. We've got some tables there. But just chill out. Make friends. Make sure you go and visit the shop. I've got a little activity for some of you to do. Well, for all of you, if you're up for it. And there are prizes. Over lunch, come and grab one of these. Or I might come and give you one. I do apologize that the writing is incredibly small.